Love Under the Stars. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1877. Elena Fawningham was lying still in her bed when the maid brought in her letters. Yawning, as she was so tired, as she had eventually come to bed rather late, it was because she had been yet to another glamorous ball. Elena stared at the pile of envelopes in the maid's hand. She wondered to herself if there would be any more invitations to dances and balls that she had enjoyed more than ever before this season. Now that it was summer, she knew that most of her friends would soon be leaving London, and she would have to go back to the country. She wished that she had had an invitation to stay with friends who owned large houses and gave the most delightful parties, where she was always a great success. Unfortunately, as it had become so warm, most of her friends had wanted to stay at the seaside or go abroad. She had the feeling that she would have to return home to her mother, who would be complaining that the house needed endless repairs, or that there were not enough gardeners to make the garden as beautiful as she wished it to be. Her father, Sir John Fawningham, who was a prominent and senior member of the House of Commons, was invariably away somewhere, making one of his many brilliant speeches that he made up and down the country. It meant that it took him away from her and her mother for long periods of time. "I have no wish to go home at this particular time," Elena reflected. Yet she was certain that one of the letters was from her mother, asking her to return after the season was over, and she would be expected to do a great deal of gardening, which Elena always found rather tedious. "I don't want to go home," she told herself again. But at the moment, her friends seemed to be leaving London. And although there were two more balls for her to attend, which she would undoubtedly enjoy, and which, she was sure, would be great occasions, after them, she knew that there would be nothing for her to do except to go home and hear her mother grumbling. If only her father would stay at home and not be asked to speak at every possible political meeting in the country. And because he was such a good speaker and so attractive, he was in demand in a great number of other countries abroad as well. She picked up her letters. She opened the first, which was a bill which she knew she should have paid 2 or 3 months ago, and it would now have to be paid immediately. She could, as she well knew, go with her father to his meetings, which he enjoyed so much. However, when she had heard him make the same speech 6 times in 6 counties, she then found herself yawning before he came to an end. With an effort, she managed to applaud him as much as everyone else in the hall. "Papa is brilliant," she mused. "He always makes people believe everything he says to them. I am certain that after he leaves, they quote and re-quote him until they are sure that they have really heard a brilliant speech." Then, because she had no wish to go home, she was wondering what else she would do. She realized that Lord Witherington was becoming such a bore, and if she wanted to avoid him, she would have to go home whether she liked it or not. Elena had met Lord Witherington, who was in the House of Lords, only a few months ago, and he had been extremely tiresome ever since. To begin with, he was a pompous bore. If there was one thing she disliked, it was people who were so absorbed by politics that they expected everyone else to be as keen and enthusiastic as themselves. They had met at a political rally, where he too had been asked to speak, and he had been invited to stay with the friends who Elena and her father were staying the night with. From that moment on, it had been impossible for her to avoid him. He asked her, at first, to help him at his meetings, as she was extremely good at her own form of shorthand, and she had taken down his speeches as he made them. At first, Elena had found it rather amusing, and she had quite enjoyed herself travelling with him, although he only talked about himself.